There are a number of deficit reduction and debt reduction plans for the federal government that are floating around. And sometimes it can be hard to compare them to one another. Winslow Wheeler is director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information here in Washington, and has put out an analysis of each of these deficit reduction plans that is, in my view, a good roadmap of how you can at least look at each of these. And Winslow joins me now to talk about them. It's nice to talk to you again. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks very much, Francis. Appreciate it.
You write, based on my experience at the Senate Budget Committee, I learned that reading different deficit reduction plans can be tricky. Some use CBO or other baselines as a basis for comparison, but these baselines can be a mystery to some and can differ by huge amounts. And that really does become the big issue when you're trying to parse some of these, is determining what's what and who's using what measure, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. Some of these plans are upfront in how they count their numbers and are easy to read and you can understand them. A lot of them are not. They mask what their real spending numbers are. They use inflated baselines to compare themselves to. They forget to tell you this, that, or the other thing about the kinds of dollars they're using. So you have to be real careful in reading these things. A plan that can sound like it's really great might turn out to be a real dud.
I'm going to link to your all of your research here at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, so folks can see exactly how these plans compare and how you've analyzed this information. I want to actually, rather than talking about the chart, which I think is pretty comprehensive and self-explanatory, and as I said, if you go and take a look at that chart, I think it will explain itself quite well. Let's talk about each one of these plans that you've analyzed. We'll start with the Sustainable Defense Task Force. That's the task force that Congressman Frank and Congressman Paul put together. I don't think I've ever, I wouldn't generally think of them as being allies on anything at all, but this task force did its analysis in what way?
It put together about a dozen or so people experienced in defense budget issues and weapons and so on. I was a participant myself, and we came up with a plan. It ended up, after we tallied up all the savings we, you know, did from the bottom up, to be just about $1 trillion of savings over 10 years. Congressman Frank and Ron Paul of Texas distributed it, and about 50 members of Congress wrote to the Obama Deficit Commission advocating the plan. It has a long list of programs to eliminate or reduce, and it also importantly has in it some recommendations on financial management reform. It's my personal view that you can't take the first step until you understand the spending in the Pentagon at a detailed, meaningful level, and we can't do that today.
You wrote another piece that I'll link up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth that I saw this morning, talking about some of the issues in spending and that Senator Grassley has outlined. He's been kind of a hawk when it comes to financial management at the Pentagon. What's been the challenge for, why is it so difficult for the Pentagon when it's not as much for other agencies? I've had guests that have said, well, it's just really complicated. I don't get a sense that financial management at other federal agencies is necessarily easy.
It's not easy, but almost every agency's done it. The Pentagon has refused to do it. There are literally hundreds of reports from the Government Accountability Office and the Inspector General at the Pentagon about these failures. The Constitution requires it. The Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990 requires it. The current DOD plan is maybe sort of they'll get it done, or at least part of it, by 27 years after the passage of the Financial Management Act, and it's really been an atrocious performance. Just to put it simply, the Pentagon does not know what happens to dollars appropriated to it by Congress. It has lots of estimates of what its programs cost, all of them inaccurate. It has estimates of how much we paid Lockheed, for example, for the F-35 fighter, But every now and then you'll see in the news a letter from the major defense contractor saying to the Pentagon, here's $30 million back, you paid us too much. That's our enforcement mechanism. We rely on the contractors to tell us when we paid them too much. Good luck with that.
I would like to have you come on at some point and talk more about financial management at the Pentagon, because it's something that I've done a number of programs on. Would like to get more of your view on that. But I do want to make sure we have a chance to talk about your work on these various analyses. You mentioned on the Sustainable Defense Task Force, this report was done in current dollars. You mentioned earlier in this piece that sometimes constant dollars are used as a measure, sometimes they're current. What's the difference?
Yeah, in the defense world, it's unique to the defense world. Current dollars are dollars that are appropriated in any given year, whatever that number might turn out to be. Constant dollars are normalized to have an equal purchasing value to remove the effects of inflation, so you can compare, defense budgets from the early 50s to defense budgets today. There is a little trick there. The inflator you use to make the calculation can have a serious effect on it, and you have to be very careful about what inflators you use. Some of the Pentagon's own inflators drive the numbers in pretty crazy directions.
All right. The second one of these that you analyze is the Coburn Freeze Audit Plan, Senator Tom Coburn's plan. And the essence that I get from the gist of this is, we're not going to give you any more money until you have controls in place to show us how you're spending what you have. Is that a fair read?
Correct.
On my part?
What he's saying is we should freeze defense spending at the 2010 level, this year's level, unless and until the Pentagon can pass comprehensive audits of programs, contractors, and components. The Pentagon's own plan to be audit ready by the year 2017 is completely inadequate, and even if they get there, and they won't, you'll have very little to show for it in terms of real information. The Coburn plan is much more comprehensive, and it provides the kind of information you really have to have to make intelligent decisions about what programs to go ahead with and what programs to get rid of. The Coburn plan freezing at this year's spending level would, similarly to the other plan, save almost $1 trillion over the next 10 years.
My guest is Winslow Wheeler on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Winslow's director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information in Washington. Deficit Reduction Commission, headed by Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson, is kind of the big kahuna, the big gorilla in the room. And we'll talk about what their proposals are and Winslow's analysis of that when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment.
Nigel Ballard, Manager, Director of Federal Marketing at Intel, on the Federal Teleworking Panel sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
Our people may have to connect from a coffee shop in Tasmania. And how do they do that? They create a VPN tunnel, and it's just like they're there. And now we use video conferencing and all those kind of instant messenger technologies built into our Office 2010. And I do not need to get my car out of the garage and go into an office to be fully functioning.
If you haven't heard, the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act passed recently. FedScoop's Feds Telework recent panel discussion can give you the information you need to implement an effective telework program within your agency. Go to FedsTelework.com to view videos from top Fed execs, read more on telework resources, and be social with Feds Telework. Find telework solutions for security, mobility, and productivity from HP, Intel, and Microsoft. Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework at FedsTelework.com.
You should never be constrained by your network. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions at AT&T. Their data networking portfolio offers reliable, secure, end-to-end solutions needed to fully recognize the power of real-time communications. Solutions from Avaya and AT&T deliver innovative technology, energy-efficient hardware, and improve the effectiveness of business by creating a simpler, more effective network. The future of data networking has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. You've heard of YouTube, but have you heard of MillTube? Similar idea, share videos, but do it securely. We'll find out why they need a separate platform. And could you be fired for what you post on Facebook? We'll talk to an attorney about what you need to watch out for. And we'll get an update on your TSP from the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Winslow Wheeler of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information in Washington. He has an analysis just out of four of the deficit and debt reduction plans that are floating around Washington and how they might impact the way the Defense Department's budget is structured. And, Winslow, I appreciate you taking some time to talk about this today. The deficit reduction plan that seems to be getting the most attention, at least from the media and people like me, is the commission that's headed by Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson. And their take on this is a little bit different than these other plans, isn't it?
A little bit. It was tricky in the reading. It's one of those plans you had to be careful in the reading of. It was not up front in addressing how much cutting it would impose on the Pentagon or the defense budget function. Doing the calculations that their text leads one to perform, it would be about an $865 billion savings over 10 years. There's two important points about this plan. One is they indicated the magnitude of reductions the Defense Department is likely to see under these deficit reduction plans, and coming from the co-chairman of the commission, that was an important message. Secondly, they also put some meaningful emphasis on the financial management problem. They didn't make it the centerpiece of their work like the Coburn plan does, but they do point out that it's essential and important, and that it was important that the two co-chairmen did that.
As this plan starts to circulate, because it's the one that people seem to be paying attention to the most, do you feel it's more likely that this is maybe the one that we should pay the most attention to? Or do you think because there are a number of these circulating that eventually one of these or the other is going to get incorporated into the others, kind of like a bill on Capitol Hill where everything kind of gets all mashed together?
Well, I think it's going to be sort of the latter. I'm impressed with the seriousness of most of the members of this deficit commission. I suspect that when we see their results Wednesday, that the product on defense is going to be some sort of amalgam of some of these plans. It looks like we're going to have a number that rounds to $1 trillion. It looks like we're going to have financial management as an important piece. It looks like certain of the low-hanging fruit of defense weapons programs that have been problematical are going to have a hard time, like the F-35, Joint Strike Fighter, and some other systems. It looks like they're going to do something about health care in the Department of Defense and so on. You can see where the consensus of opinion is on some things, but it's still going to make interesting reading when we actually see the details.
We're already seeing the report, I imagine you saw it this morning in the New York Times, that Secretary Gates wants to try to cut the amount that the Pentagon is paying out on health costs, as you mentioned, and that's linked up at federalnewsradio.com as well. The last one of these plans that your piece includes analysis for is the plan that was advanced by Alice Rivlin, the former OMB director, and Senator Pete Domenici, formerly chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. And this one, you write, reports its national defense savings at $1.1 trillion. This, however, is from a baseline very different from the Obama-Gates national defense base budget used in this analysis. How is it different?
Well, they had some more inflation in that baseline. They asked CBO to put together for them. They included also significantly spending for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that the others didn't include. It's a good example of you need to be careful in reading these plans. The claim of a $1.1 trillion in savings compares to $550 billion or so, about half, when you compare it to the same baseline as I can use in these other plans. That baseline is a perfectly normal thing to compare to, which is the Obama plan for defense for the next 10 years, rather than some construct from CBO.
In the email that you sent out with this report originally on Friday, you wrote, sometimes the press and others simply misunderstand elements of an overall plan, such as by reporting a plan's savings for one illustrative year as the entirety of the plan's savings. Sometimes uncovering what a plan really means requires close reading of the text and footnotes. In still other cases, it requires prolonged discussion with the authors. As people like me try to make sense of these various plans and explain them to people, what mistakes are commonly made, and how can I go about avoiding making those mistakes as I review these things?
It's tough, but I think the first thing you have to do is start calling around and ask people, is what I'm seeing in the text of this the message I should be taking from it, or is there some sort of buried message, or are they using strange baselines or strange dollars, or are they not making it clear at all? I think you got to call around to various people and get a consensus of opinion as to just what it means. I know it's a pain, and I know it takes time, and that's not easy in the internet age, but you got to be careful.
Winslow, thank you very much for your time today explaining these to us. And as I mentioned before, we'll post your report called The Defense Budget and the Deficit at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And look forward to having you back again.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure. Look forward to it.